Talk to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 79. I've got William here with me.
Hello.
And I have Mom here.
Hi.
It's been a while since Mom's been on the podcast.
Yep.
How you been?
Good. Still alive.
Still alive. The weather right now in Texas is very unpredictable. I pretty much have to check the weather report every day to know if it's going to be hot or cold. Mm. It seems to change like every day.
Yeah.
Every other day it's cold. Every other day it's hot.
And the extended forecasts aren't very helpful lately.
They don't seem to be that reliable. Changing. Who knows? It may be 70 degrees outside. It may be 40 degrees outside. It's very confusing. The other thing that's exciting is that tomorrow we're finally going to go see The Last Jedi, the new Star Wars movie.
That'll be a good way to start winter break.
Tomorrow afternoon. Yes. So the movie came out yesterday. We're recording this on Friday. Movie came out on Thursday. So by now, over 100 people have seen it already. And so far,
probably over 1,000.
Probably over 1,200. Maybe
1,201.
Maybe even 10,000 people have seen it.
Oh, for some reason, I thought 1,200 was 12,000.
Yeah. I bet, I don't know, millions of people have seen it, but I have not seen it, and I've done a pretty good job so far of avoiding spoilers.
But yeah, I think our winter break is going to start off pretty strong because we're going to start off winter break, first of all, trying to forget about the science fair, and second of all, watching The Last Jedi and playing the new Five Nights at Freddy's game, so starting off strong.
How did the science fair go? How did your presentation go?
I think I did a pretty good presentation. My trifold was actually pretty good compared to some other people's. There are some people that just read right off their note cards or right off the slideshows, and some people that just spoke it in their own words. And we got to like grade each person with an A, B, C, or I think it was A, B, C, D, or an F, or maybe it's A, B, C, or F. And I didn't really know like what a C, D, or an F would mean. So I just gave everyone either A's or B's. I gave like the people who had B's were the people that just like read directly off their note cards. And people with A's were the people that actually like put it into their own words. And like, there are some good presentations and there are some presentations.
I don't think we've talked about on the podcast what your science project was. Do you want to tell our listeners what you did?
Okay, so for some reason, not that many other people did this in our class, but I'm not even sure if anyone did, but I did the engineering fair, which is where I created an erasable pen. It's like a pen that has like crushed up graphite in it. And a lot of people have asked me, like, hasn't that already been done? But actually, apparently they're like Frixion erasable pens.
Friction?
Or it's like spelled F-R-I-X-I-O-N.
Hmm.
Or maybe,
I didn't know that was a word.
X-O-N.
Is that like the brand
name?
No, I think
it's the brand name.
It's the brand name.
But apparently they work by like thermal heat, but if you apparently because of that the pen ink can eventually just fade away. So yeah, they're kind of defective. Sharpie also made a erasable pen, but whatever.
Is it actually erasable?
Yeah, it's like liquid graphite. But anyways, So how I did it was I sort of experimented with different ways of mixing graphite in ink, and the one that was most effective was dampening the eraser to make it like erode more, and
doing what to the eraser?
Dampening it and then like crushing up graphite and putting it at the top of the pen so the ink went through it. It was only semi-erasable, but I had scientific evidence to support it, kind of. And I didn't actually show the actual project, I just showed the trifold and the images. So I think it was the most erasable. Yeah,
the pen itself was not a pretty thing.
By the way,
it was kind of a mess.
I think we did a pretty awesome job with the trifold. I think Mom and Dad helped me a lot with it, but I like designed it all. So
your pen, like, you took some pencil lead, like from a mechanical pencil, and you smashed it up in a mortar and pestle, so it became like really fine graphite. And then you kind of, how did you get it in the pen? I don't remember.
That was kind of the experiment for the engineering fair, because it showed up to the experience. One of them was I just like dipped the graphite in ink, and the other one was where I like crushed it up and I put it at the front of the pen so the ink could go through it.
Just kind of coated the tip of the pen in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't really work, but
it worked okay.
I had
it was an interesting experiment.
The way I figured out how erasable it was, since I need numbers, is I just plugged it into the computer, and the computer figured out the luminosity of it.
You plugged it into the computer? How'd you do that?
Well, I took the files from my Kindle, and I converted it onto the computer.
Like, took pictures of it, or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, if you guys think that I was having, like, the time of my life, no, I freaking hate the science fair.
Everybody hates the science fair.
It's always a ton of work putting together the presentation.
Everything. And the journal, and the trying to get your experiments to work. And remember to take pictures while you're doing it.
This one night, I had to write a 3-page research essay, plus a page for a bibliography, plus a page for a glossary. I had to write like half of it in one night, so I stayed up until midnight. And my friend had to write the entire thing in one night, so he just didn't sleep the entire night. Can you imagine what it would be like to just not sleep?
Yes, we know what it's like to not sleep.
I've done it before. I've stayed up all night long before, and it's not a good feeling.
Yeah. The next morning you feel disoriented. You don't feel good the next day.
But yeah, my friend's, he's a bit of a procrastinator, but...
Everybody's a little bit of a procrastinator. Some people are just worse procrastinators than others.
Yeah. It's true.
So Christmas is coming.
The goose is getting fat. We keep saying that because it's
stop making fun of that goose.
That poor goose.
Well, maybe the goose is becoming like fat, like phat.
I think the goose is getting fat and we're getting hungry.
Oh dear.
I think I've never even eaten goose before.
I know. I'm always tempted to bake a. To make a Christmas goose.
To be fair, I mean, the thing
I think
is,
it's kind of like a really dark meat, and it's a little bit greasy.
I feel like
I imagine it being.
People in Christmas always talk about eating goose, but I feel like if you actually meet a goose in person, it seems like the goose is trying to eat you.
Yeah, but I would only cook a goose that's already dead.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to like fight a goose to the death.
I don't care.
I'm not letting geese into my house.
Geese are aggressive.
I've always been tempted to make a Christmas goose though and put it on the table. And
I mean, it is.
I don't know if it's that good though.
Yeah,
really, honestly, I think if it was really good, more people would eat them.
It is kind of fun to have. You know what though?
I think they eat them more like in England.
I think in England though now they just eat turkeys.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
I thought turkeys were pretty much American.
Turkey for Christmas dinner is a big thing in England, apparently.
When we went on a cool trip to Florida a few years ago, when we stopped at New Orleans on our way back, I had alligator for the first time, and it was like alligator sausage, which tasted pretty good, but it gave me these weird fish burps.
we had alligator when we visited New Orleans.
New Orleans is fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of scary, but fun.
Christmas is like a week and 2 days away, is that right?
I had bought in like
Friday,
pretty much
Saturday,
no presents.
Sunday, Monday. I guess it's a week and 3 days away. So you haven't done any, you've done a tiny bit of Christmas shopping because I went with you and William last Saturday.
Seems like I always like save up and get a bunch of money and then Christmas comes around or like the three birthdays in a row come around and I'm like flat broke again.
Yeah.
You can always do chores around here for extra money. Extra chores for extra money. I'm generous too.
I got $40 plus a bunch of gift cards for Remembrance Day.
That's true.
I've done a decent amount of Christmas shopping already. Usually I put it off till the very last minute, but this year I think I've done a pretty good job. There's still some things I got to get, but I've got most of my presents done or at least planned out, or maybe they're being shipped at the moment.
Yeah. Ooh, can we mention the white elephant gift exchange we did?
Sure. So for the church group, we did a white elephant gift exchange, which is, I think everybody knows what that is, but in case you're one of the people who doesn't know, it's like you bring kind of a cheap and sometimes funny, sometimes goofy gift, you wrap it up, everybody puts the presents in the middle, you draw a number, and one by one people get to open a present. Yeah. And then the next person has a choice of either opening their own present or stealing someone else's present.
Everyone plays it a bit differently, but the way we played it, something could be stolen three times until it locks, so no one can steal it again. What I did the first time was I stole like this big packet of Kit Kats and seasonal Captain Crunch, but then that got stolen. So then I unwrapped this like chest full of a bunch of Skittles on a $5 bill. I kind of advertised that to the world too much, so someone stole that again. Ended up with a frisbee with some water balloons in it and a packet of applesauce, like the kind that you like squeeze and suck. And then I just traded it with someone for like a little like whale container that had like a few Kit Kats in it. So it went from like a really good present and then an equally really good present, and then a not very good present, and then an okay present.
Who ended up with the unicorn froster that we brought?
That frosting that comes out of the unicorns
behind. So we brought three different presents.
It's like rainbow poops.
One, it was like a unicorn poop maker, and it was like
cupcake frosting.
It was like this thing where you squeeze it, and the unicorn poop comes out of the unicorn's butt, but it's like to frost a cupcake.
Right, and you can make it rainbow colored.
Yeah.
Yes.
We also...
And then we got... we brought...
Calpico.
Some Calpico, which is a Japanese drink that I like a lot.
It's kind of like... It's like watered
and
down yogurt.
And the person who opened it was like, what the heck is this? And no one
knew what
it
was.
Until it came... Phoebe was one of the last people, and she took it. And she didn't even realize we had brought it.
I've only...
But she liked it, so she ended up with it.
Yeah, she was excited about it.
To one other person outside of our family that knows what Calpico is. It was a kid at my lunch table who's Korean. But yeah, Calpico is really good. There's like flavors of it too. It's like the best thing ever. But yeah, no one knew what it was.
And what was the other thing we brought? Oh, we brought, it was like this tube that had Laffy Taffys in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Surprisingly, no one stole that. I think because the kid was kind of like hiding it behind his chair.
Until the very end. And I think someone stole it at the very end.
Yeah.
Last year, I got stuck with a banana and a photograph of the person who made the present that was signed. And no one wanted to trade it. So I just, at the end, I just had to split my banana in half and just eat it angrily. I mean, they had like hot chocolate at the end, though, so that made up for it.
They'll always have hot chocolate and cookies.
Yeah. White Elephant is fun. It's like, the presents usually range from like completely useless to like pretty good, but like it's never like a Christmas present.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what the most like in-demand present was. Oh, do you know what it was? Strangely, like besides like the large amounts of candy, there was a onesie. It looked like Elf.
Oh,
movie.
Yeah, like the character Elf.
Yeah, it was like this one-piece pajama, this onesie pajama from Elf.
This one?
A picture
what's the Elf's name?
Buddy the Elf. It had Buddy the Elf printed on
it.
Or like Will Ferrell as Buddy the Elf printed on it. And that thing was stolen. It was stolen the max amount of times. And then I think even at the end, people were trying to bargain their way in.
The Elf costume?
Yeah.
I
didn't predict
that
would be a hot item.
This one person got a Christmas Christmas Shrek special. I guess no one wanted it because they hadn't read the manga yet. There were crazy gifts.
There was a toilet seat cover, like a fuzzy toilet seat cover. It was new, at least.
There's a bunch of ponies on sticks.
So I don't know if some people might not even know what a toilet seat cover is because when I was a kid,
everybody
it seemed
had
like
them.
Everyone, especially like your grandma. Always had like this kind of like, you know how like bath mats?
The really fuzzy kind.
The fuzzy kind of bath mats have those, but they go over your toilet seat lid.
Those are kind of nice.
Are they?
They're kind of gross.
But they're on the toilet seat lid that you don't sit on.
Right,
so.
Not the seat, but the toilet seat lid.
I mean, sometimes they are.
Lid. And it seems like everybody had that in their house.
I'm not sure why.
And then at some point, they stopped having it. And there was also like a little mat that went around the toilet itself, which was kind of gross because then if stuff happens around a toilet, you'd have to wash it a lot.
Mm, yeah.
But that was something everybody had in their house was like toilet seat lid covers.
I don't think I've seen either one of those things for a while. And I think it's because...
Well, I think you could buy them if you really want to. Like,
we just need...
I bet if you went to Bed Bath & Beyond, they would have them. But it doesn't seem like anybody has them in their house except for really old people.
We just need portable toilets hooked up to ourselves.
What?
We just need like pants that like come with portable toilets.
No,
that's a gross thought.
That's such a gross thought. Do you remember, like back in? I swear, like back in the '70s.
Wait, you're gonna cut that out?
When you're talking,
When
you're talking about grandmas and their fuzzy toilet seats, I swear, like moms had fuzzy toilet seats, but then like the grandmas had ones that were crocheted. Like I remember hand crocheted toilet seat covers.
You know what else I remember about my grandma's house?
What
is like she would have a bathroom. And the bathroom would have like peach colored toilet lid cover, a peach shower cover, and peach colored toilet paper to match. It would all coordinate. Like the toilet paper was colored as well.
Oh, wow.
To match the decor of the bathroom.
Your grandma was very fancy.
Do you remember like...
But did she crochet her own toilet cover?
Do you remember colored toilet paper though?
I dimly remember like either peach or like country blue.
Peach or like red or light blue.
Red?
Toilet paper. Well, not red, but like... Kind of a pink color, not like a deep red, but like a...
I don't remember.
Like a rose color, you know? Like a rosy pink.
I kind of remember peach. I think I remember like
so
country
weird.
Blue.
Why don't they have colored toilet paper anymore?
I don't know.
I guess they have patterns on them sometimes, but
not
usually it's
often.
Just kind of embossed.
I've seen like word of the day toilet paper.
So...
Yeah, or like joke toilet paper.
Yeah, but it's not like sold in normal stores.
Yeah, it's just a gag gift.
So this might be like the last conversation point, because partly because I kind of want to steer away from toilets. And multimedia in my free time, making a bunch of fake facts. Like, I made one that said...
You're like a purveyor of fake news now.
Yeah, there's this one person that made like a whole bunch of fake facts and told everyone to spread it everywhere.
And I think there are lots of people in there all over the internet and Facebook.
But like, it was kind of a joke. But I made one that said that the moon is made out of cheese and that the latest man on the moon described the moon as tasting creamy and soft. I also made one...
But how does it melt? That,
I don't know, but I made... I also made another one with like a blurred up fidget spinner in the background, and it said that fidget spinners are deadly because they have a minuscule amount of lead in them, so it's dangerous to spin over 10 times a day.
Someone's on the podcast said that they used to actually think the moon was made of cheese because of Wallace and Gromit.
Was it Elizabeth?
I don't know.
It's I'm like not that sure Wallace I believe
and
Gromit that.
Where they fly to the moon and eat cheese.
We were supposed to...
It wasn't you, William, was it?
No?
No?
We were supposed to Photoshop...
I think it was Elizabeth.
For like the first 10 minutes of class every day, we were supposed to Photoshop a flying turtle, so I turned that into a fake fact so the scientists had discovered a flying turtle.
That was pretty cool. It looked like a sea turtle, but it had wings coming out of the back.
Oh, by the way, since I shared this with the listeners, you guys need to spread this everywhere.
Maybe we can post the picture on the on Instagram and Twitter. And
post it everywhere.
And it'll go viral.
Maybe.
And be completely serious about it.
Yeah. I want to say that most people won't believe stuff like that, but I don't know what I'm basing that on.
Earth is flat.
I don't know.
It's hollow. It's not flat. It's hollow.
No, Earth is flat.
We've talked about hollow Earth theory before.
Well, you know those trees? Those trees just aren't...
Actual, yeah.
I don't know.
I can't think about those arguments for very long because it just makes my head hurt. It makes no sense.
I saw a Vsauce video that said that if the Earth was flat, then like... At the edge, you would just basically just walk safely to the other side of the earth.
I think that it's time to move on from fake news to actual news.
Okay.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
William, did you know that the earth hums?
Because it's
a
flat.
There's a hum to the earth. This is actual science.
Science!
Yeah, science.
Researchers have been able to detect the Earth's background hum. So if you turned off every video game system, car stereo, TV on the planet, and if everyone held their breath and didn't make a peep, there would still be a sound. And I'm reading from Inverse News at inverse.com.
That's interesting.
It'd be a sound, though you couldn't really hear it because it's such a low frequency that it's way below what people can hear. Some scientists, geophysicists, have actually measured the Earth's background hum on the ocean floor for the first time recently. So if you take out all of the noises related to like earthquakes and the movement of the Earth's tectonic plates, there's still this very low hum that they haven't really explained. They don't know why the Earth hums. They just know that it does, and they've been able to measure it.
That's this interesting. It's like how our nose smells like something, but we don't know what it smells like because it's like always there.
Because it's always smelling. To me, it sounds like a Madeleine L'Engle book.
It does, yeah. The most recent study was published on November 14th in Geophysical Research Letters. An international team of European geophysicists led by Martha Dean, a geophysicist PhD student in the Paris Institute of Earth Physics, reported that they used seismometers at the bottom of the Indian Ocean to make the first direct observation of the Earth's hum from the bottom of the ocean. What's interesting about this, there are two things interesting about this. First of all, like this is the first time they've ever done it in the ocean. They've measured the hum before, but it's always been on ground. And then the second thing is like how they did it. Like to measure the Earth's hum at the bottom of the ocean is really difficult because in the ocean there's a lot of background noise of mostly water sloshing around and vibrations in the water. What they did is they used several different seismometers and then they like synced them all up. So they by using lots of seismometers, they could get rid of all the background noise. They could get rid of all the things that were like unique to each seismometer. And what you're left with is this very low frequency hum.
Wait, is it possible to hear without all the other stuff?
No, you can't hear it with your ear, but you can measure it with instruments. One wavelength takes about 30 seconds. So in comparison, the middle A on a piano has a wavelength of about 0.00227 seconds. The longer the wavelength, the lower the sound. So this is a very low sound, mm-hmm. and it takes like the wave of the sound 30 seconds to complete.
Oh, so that's why you can't hear.
So it's very,
like,
very low, yeah.
That's why you can't hear like radios or anything.
Yeah. So,
a radio wave.
But it's really interesting because the Earth has this hum to it. We can't hear it, but we know it's there, and they don't know what's causing it. But they're continuing to find new ways to study it, and this study had to do with studying it at the bottom of the ocean. I thought it was interesting.
That's really interesting.
That is really interesting.
Mom also has a story that involves
science!
Yes, science.
Science. This is dinosaur science.
And this is, I love this dinosaur.
A new dinosaur discovery. Yeah, I like when they like illustrate what they think it's going to look like. This one is really, really adorable. This new dinosaur looks like an odd mix of duck, croc, ostrich, and swan. So this new weird dinosaur that they discovered, actually it was so weird that the researchers initially kind of assumed it was probably fake. And plus, I guess... the rock containing the skeleton had been smuggled out of Mongolia and left in a private collector's hands. So it seemed fake from the get-go there, but
this totally sounds like fake
news. It totally sounds fake, but they determined it was not.
Yeah,
like
I know.
They went about, with the assumption that it might be fake. And so then they tried to demonstrate like how it was fake. But then starting from that assumption, they were actually able to like, you know, eliminate a lot of possibilities there. And they decided it was actually a real thing.
And that's, if I can interrupt for just a second.
Yeah.
That's the cool thing about science is the way science works is you try to disprove things. Mm-hmm. So like you start out with a hypothesis and then you try to disprove it.
Yeah.
And if you can't disprove it, then it becomes more reliable and you just move on from there. That's what's really cool. So like fake science is like something you can't really disprove. Like it's, you come up, like, some theories are impossible to disprove. That's how you know it's, like, pseudoscience.
But is it possible?
But real science, it's like you have an opportunity to try and either prove it or disprove it.
Right. So researchers use something called a synchrotron to create three-dimensional images of the fossil, which showed the creature was a single animal and not, like, something kind of built up from several different things. For example, an arm hidden in the rock perfectly matched the visible left arm, and lines indicating the growth matched up across the bones. They finally determined it was real. But so this dinosaur looks like it's got a bill like a duck, but then teeth like a crocodile's, and then like this long swan neck, and then killer claws and little like. So
show William the picture, and we'll put this up on
right.
our Instagram.
So it also has flippers like a penguin and walks like walked like an ostrich, but could also swim. So two-legged meat-eating dinosaur that can swim.
It looks like something like out of, I don't know, like a children's book from the 19th century or like Lewis Carroll would have dreamed up.
Well,
like
they say,
Deborah
it
looks
surreal.
It does.
It looks so surreal.
Looks like the Sir John Tenniel illustrations from Alice in Wonderland.
It looks like surrealism.
It does.
It does. It
so
looks crazy.
They say,
like,
or
something Salvador Dali would have come up with.
Because you know how like surrealism is so like realistic?
Right.
Yeah, surreal means like dreamlike.
Right. So, I mean, this article like mentions Dr. Seuss a few times. Like it looks like something that Dr. Seuss could have dreamed up.
Yeah.
I liked this. So one of the paleontologists that didn't work on it but was just commenting said that it's got a swan neck dinosaur body, but with a mouthful of tiny teeth and hands and feet that look like they might be good for swimming. And because of all these different things, it could run on the ground, fish in fresh water, and just do all kinds of crazy things that you don't really think about dinosaurs doing.
You know what else it reminds me of? It reminds me of like how the animals in Avatar The Last Airbender are like two animals combined.
Yeah.
This looks like one of those animals, like you combine three
different
funny animals.
Looking animal, yeah. And they're all kind of funny looking but cute.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Cozy Stealer.
You should post this picture.
Yeah, I'll definitely post the picture
on our Instagram.
It's really weird looking. I can see why the scientists would be like, no, like if someone just assembled this skeleton, they would think that it's actually different bones, which is what happened with the old Brontosaurus. Like when we were kids, everyone believed there was this dinosaur called a Brontosaurus, and it turns out there was never a Brontosaurus. They had taken two different types of dinosaurs and
mixed
them
up.
Together.
Yeah.
So, and they called this the Halshkaraptor Eskaleli or Halszka after the late Polish paleontologist Halszka Osmolska.
I like that name.
Halszka, the Halszka raptor. Anyway, kind of cool.
Science! A lot of cavemen turned out to be hoaxes, like the Peking Man.
Yeah.
Peking. The Peking Man?
Okay, a sneaky Oklahoma dog rushed to the vet after stealing, eating 21 pacifiers.
Oh, that dog.
Dovey the Sharpei is cute and extremely cuddly. However, some items have gone missing over the past few months when she is around. Pacifiers in particular. We have a 6-month-old baby, and, you know, we have binkies in the house because of the baby, and over the past 5 months, we've been missing many binkies, said Scott Rogers. Rogers and his wife figured out that binkies are lost in unusual places, like restaurants or in between couch cushions. As it turns out, they were hiding in Dovey's stomach. She's been eating and drinking and playing and acting normal up just until recently, Rogers said. And Dovey began throwing up and losing weight. She's rushed to the vet. And they found 21 binkies in her stomach.
21 binkies.
Yeah, Mom.
Gross. That's really nasty.
That's a lot of binkies. So, Sharpeis, how big are they?
Sharpeis are the ones with all the folds in their skin, right?
They're not huge, though, right?
I don't know how big a Sharpei is.
We need to look this up and Google it. Well, I mean, if it's like a big dog, 21. Here. I'm thinking 21 binkies would take up a lot of space in a little dog's stomach.
21 binkies sounds like the name of a shop in a mall.
Or a pop music group. Like 21 Pilots, but younger.
How come people use the word 21 so much? Like Forever 21, Baskin Robbins has 21 flavors.
No, they have
31, never mind.
Is it 31 flavors?
21 Savage, let's ask Google. Forever 21.
Okay, Google, how big is a Sharpei?
21 Pilots.
The Sharpei breed has a height between 1 foot 6 inches and 1 foot 8 inches for females, and between 1 foot 6 inches and 1 foot 8 inches for males. The weight of the Sharpei breed is typically between 40 pounds and 55 pounds for females, and between 55 pounds and 65 pounds for males.
So kind of a medium dog.
Kind of a medium-sized dog. They're not real huge, but they're not tiny dogs either.
That's a lot of binky, even for a medium dog to be eating.
Yeah. I have a friend that I've known for a long time, and she's a lawyer in Los Angeles. And her dog eats rocks. She's got two dogs, and one of her dogs is constantly eating rocks. She's had to take the dog to the vet at least twice to have surgery to remove rocks.
Maisie's
but then the dog goes out in the yard and finds more rocks to eat.
Well, there are always more rocks.
Like a big rock in its stomach, and it causes problems.
Maisie used to eat bricks. There's a.
She'll eat all kinds
of
things.
I don't know if she's eaten bricks or she just likes to carry it around in her mouth.
There's a My Strange Addiction about a person that likes to eat rocks.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird health problems that can do that.
I don't really like watching My Strange Addiction. It's just weird.
It is weird. It's creepy. I don't like it.
Neither do
I. But I could see Maisie eating binkies because I think they have the texture that she likes. You know, there are a lot of things that she's supposed to eat that she won't eat, like chewy sticks or whatever that are for dogs. She'll just hide those.
I think she's, it's
but
like,
but then she'll eat.
It's too big for her to actually swallow, but she'd enjoy chewing on them.
She eats the bricks.
She likes to eat pencils.
She loves pencils.
No, I mean binkies. I don't think she would swallow binkies. The whole binky, but I think she'd love to chew
would,
on it.
She would chew like holes and probably eat it in like pieces. I don't think she could eat the thing whole, but I think that she would like do what she does with her dog toys. She'll like eat them bit by bit.
And she really likes eating pencils. She'll like chew them to death. Mm-hmm.
She ate another dog once.
I don't think that's actually true.
No, I think you made that up.
Maybe. News.
You're coming up with all kinds of like totally fake stories here.
Ah,
sorry. So are there any other details we need to know about this dog?
Dr. Rispoli said the best thing to do with any dog at home that eats anything is to pick everything up.
Yes.
Mom said that was something that she would say.
It's something I have said.
Dog-proofing your home is important.
Yes.
Because Maisie will find it. Like, if you leave a pencil or a pen on the ground, she'll find it.
Well, not just on the ground, but somewhere where she could, like, because she'll stand up and kind of, like, move around until she can, like, bat it off if she can see it.
It's amazing how much she can stretch out her body.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we talked about this before, but we've got one of those trash cans in our kitchen that has like the lid that you open it up with your foot and then it closes slowly.
She's probably figured out how to open it.
And she gets really excited when I open up the garbage can.
She knows it's slow.
She knows there's like garbage in there and she likes disgusting things.
She knows that it closes really slowly. So she hurries.
She'll listen. And then when I open it, she'll run over there and she'll like look over the edge.
Yeah. She'll stretch her paws up, stretch her chin up so she can see inside. And sometimes she'll kind of try to get something, but usually it closes before she can.
I love it when you put a treat on the coffee table and she'll just like walk around on her hind legs trying to get it.
Yeah. She'll like scoot around, kind of like how, like when babies, right before they can really walk, but they'll cruise furniture. They'll like crawl over the furniture, pull themselves up and cruise around on it.
Or like little kids that like...
She does that.
Or little kids that can't swim will like hang onto the edges of the pool.
Yep. That's exactly what she does.
Looks hilarious.
And she looks like she's trying to keep her head above water, but really she's just keeping her head above the coffee table so she can see what's there.
Yeah.
And try to get to it.
She's really smart about that.
Yep. Let's do something we haven't done in a little while. Let's do some hypothetical. What I just said was only hypothetical. So this isn't exactly hypothetical, but I did want to give a little bit of an update to the whole is a hot dog a sandwich debate on the internet. I am firmly in the camp that believes a hot dog is a sandwich, because why wouldn't it be a sandwich?
It's
meat between two pieces of bread. Bun is bread. You put stuff on it, you eat it, it's a sandwich. But I will say someone on the internet made probably the best argument I've ever seen about why it wouldn't be a sandwich. And his argument was, the reason he says a hot dog is not a sandwich is if you take the meat out of the hot dog, it's still a hot dog. It's still called a hot dog.
Like, no, if you
the
take
hot
out-
dog itself... Whether it's in the bun or out of the bun is still called a hot dog.
That's not a good argument.
I think it's a decent argument. I mean, I still believe that's a sandwich, but I think that's a pretty good argument.
But a burger is still a sandwich, even though if you take out the buns, it's still a burger.
Yeah.
I think that's...
Except it's not, though. It's a hamburger patty.
No, but some people still call it a burger, though.
Do they call it a burger? I think it has to be in the sandwich.
I mean, a hot dog is also called a wiener, so...
Yeah. But in that, trying to find this. So someone responding to that argument, though, made some interesting arguments that I wanted to talk about briefly. So someone responding to the argument about the hot dog is a hot dog if you take it out of the bun still, therefore it's not a sandwich, had like all of these interesting food linguistics. This is at Verugen. Or V-I-E-R-E-U-G-E-N. He's a Twitter user from Germany. Here are his arguments. Here are his questions that are kind of interesting questions. He says, is cereal a soup?
Oh, there's a Vsauce video about this.
Is cereal a soup? What do you think about that?
Well, there's a Vsauce video that said that, like, what if it's a
Vsauce?
Salad? You don't know what Vsauce? He makes, like, these, like, science videos on YouTube that make you feel smart.
The YouTuber?
Yeah, he makes these like really interesting science videos.
Oh, I don't know that. So what do you think? Is cereal a soup?
Well, in his video, he explained that it could be a salad and the milk could be a dressing. Or, I don't know.
Cereal doesn't seem like a salad at all to me.
I think it's...
I could almost see it being a soup, but I can't see it being a salad.
I think it's its own category.
It's just cereal?
There's lots of different types of cereal.
The reason why I don't think it's a soup is because I think soup has to be somehow combined or cooked.
Also, there's too much cereal...
I think there has to be something like the. It can't. You don't just put stuff in a bowl. I think you have to do something to combine it or cook it.
Also,
so that it makes it something other than the pieces in it.
Also, soup has a certain number of solids and a certain number of liquids. Cereal has too much solids.
But you can have. What about like stew though?
Well, stew isn't soup.
Well, is cereal a stew? I think stew is soup.
No, stew is like this, like.
Wait, back up. I think stew is soup. I think it's a kind of soup.
Stew?
It's a chunky. Stew is soup. It's a chunky soup.
What?
Stew is a kind of soup.
No, what
it's
is
it?
Like,
it's a subcategory
it's
of
too
soup.
It's thick.
No, it's like got chunks of stuff in it. What about chili? Is chili a soup?
No. It has.
Chili is its own thing?
Yeah.
Is chili
a
kind of stew?
Its own thing. No, I think chili's its own thing.
I think chili's a kind of stew.
No, chili's its own thing.
Oh, you believe in very separate categories.
No, but it's
true. All right, here's the next question, though. Is soup a beverage?
No. No, you don't put it in a cup.
Do you eat soup or do you drink soup?
You don't sip it like a beverage. You don't like...
You could.
You don't like bottoms up.
You could sip it like a beverage.
Yeah, but you don't. You don't traditionally.
See, I
kind of
think even though people... In English, you say you eat soup, you really drink it.
What do you...
You drink soup. And I think in Japanese, you drink soup.
What do you drink?
Like miso soup? You drink it.
Okay, but would you drink soda? Like out of a bowl with a spoon? Would you drink milk?
Well, you could.
Would
you
drink
milk at the end of...
When but you don't, when you finish,
when you finish your cereal soup, you drink the milk at the end.
I mean, yeah, supposedly you could, but... People don't traditionally do that. So yeah, no, soup is not a beverage. You can't say that all edible liquids are beverages.
I think you drink soup. I don't think you eat it. I think you drink it.
Yeah, but that doesn't make it a beverage.
Here's the next question. He says, is it a pizza slice or a piece of pizza?
Both. It's a slice. The slice is a piece.
But which is more appropriate, to call it a slice of pizza or a piece of pizza?
They're both equally appropriate because it's saying like it's a slice of the pizza or it's a piece of the pizza.
But I think...
I think, though,
if you want to be very literal and not figurative, it's really a piece of pizza.
But sometimes
is something you slice off of something else. Like if you're slicing a piece of bologna, or you're slicing a piece of cheese.
Sometimes it's
you would
in squares,
cut it off
though.
A bigger piece, like at an angle.
Sometimes it's in squares, though.
I think it's a piece of pizza. If you want to be literal. Although everybody says slice of pizza, so that's fine.
Also, slice is more specific.
Here's the next question,
that's
though.
That's so fun to say.
Slice. Why is pizza a pie?
Because it has a crust. Because it has a crust and it has a filling.
Yeah, that's kind of easy.
Okay.
All right, but I have some actual hypotheticals here. These are actual hypotheticals.
Wait, just really quickly, bonus question. Does pizza need tomato paste?
No.
No.
You can have a white sauce, or you can have a olive oil based sauce.
Doesn't need sauce at all. I think it does because then otherwise
it does need some kind of sauce.
Because then it's just
cheese bread.
Otherwise
it's just like a bruschetta.
People need to stop thinking that they can get away with just not putting sauce in pizza. If there's no sauce,
it's cheese
bread.
It could have a pesto sauce. It doesn't necessarily have to be a tomato sauce.
Not necessarily.
But it could have a pesto sauce. It could have a white sauce. It could have an olive oil sauce. But I think it does have to have some kind of sauce.
Yeah, because otherwise,
I agree with you there.
Otherwise, other than the way it's cut, it's the same thing as cheese bread.
Otherwise, it's just a bruschetta or a flatbread.
Or a cheese bread.
Although pizza's kind of a flatbread, but it's a particular kind of flatbread.
Yeah.
All right, I've got some actual hypotheticals here. Let's try this one. I think this one is interesting. It's a little bit dark.
The mind killer.
These are hypotheticals, as I've mentioned before, from the card deck Hypotheticals by Chuck Klosterman. This one is called The Mind Killer. It's a little bit long, so bear with me. You become friends with a charismatic Spanish insurance salesman who claims to be a mystic. At first, you think he is just an interesting weirdo. But then a mutual acquaintance mysteriously dies in his sleep. And your Spanish friend tells you, "I killed that guy. I killed him with my mind."
Whoa.
You find this disturbing and inappropriate, but you decide to let it go.
It's like the new villain on The Flash.
2 weeks later, an unpopular local politician dies in his sleep. "I killed that man too," says your Spanish friend. "I killed him with my mind."
Whoa.
This is annoying and tasteless, but once again, you let it go. The very next day, the Spanish insurance salesman calls you on the telephone and says, "Check the newspaper and see what I did with my mind. It's in the entertainment section." When you open the newspaper, you see that an obituary for singer-songwriter Tori Amos. The article says she mysteriously died the night before. Technically, this proves nothing. But you nonetheless confront your Spanish friend and tell him that you've grown tired of all this hypothetical mind murdering and you no longer want to be his friend. "Don't you dare shut me out of your life," he says. "You are my best friend. You must remain in my life. I'm not sure what I would do if you ever betrayed me." Do you remain friends with this possibly delusional, possibly dangerous Spaniard? You have no physical proof that he can actually kill people with his mind.
Okay.
So here's a question. Do you keep being friends with this person?
Here's what I do. I need actual proof that he can kill people with his mind. Then I figure out a way to either arrest him somehow or to figure out if it's justified to murder him.
All right. Well, let's explore that. How would you get proof that he could kill people with his mind?
I could just say, here, kill this person.
But then you would be guilty of murder.
Yeah, that was a joke. I'd eventually figure out, I could maybe chat it out with him very carefully, like really carefully.
Maybe you could do an experiment with like a frog or something.
No, not a frog. Maybe like a fly.
A goldfish?
A fly.
A fly. You'd have to catch a fly, put it in some kind of terrarium.
It wouldn't be that hard. Or an ant.
And say, I'd like you to demonstrate.
Demogorgon.
You got to be careful, though. What if he could kill people with his mind? You don't want to irritate him.
But I could try to talk it out with him. And maybe murdering him could be a last resort.
I think the issue here comes down to, like, how much do you believe he's actually doing this? Or is he just taking advantage of people who happen to die and claiming credit for it? If you don't believe there's anything to it at all, like you're 100% sure he's just a crackpot, it's probably okay just to stop being friends with him. Although, who knows, maybe he'll find other ways to get at you.
It's really scary, though.
But if you think there's a small chance maybe he's actually doing it, then you'd be like fearful for your life, right?
I would like move to Australia. By the way, Australia is my number one backup plan for whenever I need to move far away, like if Yellowstone erupts.
So if you go missing, we'll know where to look for you.
New Zealand. Or is it New Zealand or Australia? You don't know where in New Zealand or in Australia.
It's true. Australia is a big place with lots of...
Or Canada. No, Canada's too close.
Very scary animals.
Canada's too close. Dang it.
So, but here's the thing, though. Like, the interesting thing about this hypothetical is, one, do you believe him? And two, even if you don't believe him, how do you handle that situation?
Maybe I could say... Okay, well, you don't have to do this, but could you prove it by killing this fly?
And I guess the other question, so this is sort of like question number three is, even if you don't believe him and you decide to keep being friends with him, that's kind of creepy too, right?
I could...
Because you're friends with someone who claims that he's killing people with his mind, whether he actually is or not, that's creepy.
I could figure out a way to work it out.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, but how though? So that's what you have to think of as your answer to the hypothetical. How would you work it out?
I don't know. I could talk with him, and if he isn't able to, like, if talking it out doesn't work, I could do something a bit more extreme.
So, like, talking it out, like, one of the ways you could talk it out is just saying, hey, dude, guy, I like you. You're a nice guy to hang out with. We're friends. But it makes me really uncomfortable when you talk about killing people with your mind. So even if you're doing it, can you kind of keep it to yourself? Is that all right? I don't really want to know about it.
Maybe say like...
And maybe he'll just let it go.
You got to be really careful, though.
Yeah. I don't know. And then you've got that other thing of... So if he's not killing people with his mind, but he believes he is, maybe he's dangerous and delusional.
This hurts my head to think about. Some hypotheticals are fun, and some just, like, hurt my mind to think about. Like, I think about, like, would you rather go skydiving or die? Like, those things, like, just hurt my mind to think about.
All right, let's do one that's not quite as hard.
Okay. What I just said was only
hypothetical. Oh. All right.
It's, like, the best
This
rap
one
ever.
Is called...
Love that song.
Worldwide okay. Perfection. Scientists build a massive space station that allows mankind to control the worldwide weather. As a result, there are no more weather emergencies. There are no more droughts or floods or tornadoes, and global warming has been eliminated.
That'll be helpful for this year.
Yeah. However, there is an immediate demand for perfect days, quote unquote, perfect days. Because the weather can be controlled, many people want the weather to be nicer and more predictable. A large segment of the populace wants there to be two specific days, April 22nd and October 22nd, where every place on Earth would simultaneously experience ideal weather conditions for 24 hours. These 2 days would become worldwide holidays, ideal for weddings, reunions, outdoor sporting events, and any tourism or traveling that demands meteorological perfection. Every community on Earth would have perfect weather on these 2 designated days. However, you know there's going to be a catch, right? However, the environmental community claims that this might be risky. There is no precedent for worldwide perfection, and environmental leaders fear that this could create problems we cannot foresee. It can't be nice everywhere, says the Universal Weather Czar Al Gore. At any given moment, at least one-third of the planet needs to be dealing with semi-crappy weather. However, no one can specifically prove why this alleged perfection would be dangerous, because it has never happened before. So, most of the world wants there to be two perfect weather holidays, April 22nd and October 22nd, where everyone on the Earth experiences perfect weather. But environmentalists say that could be dangerous. We don't know why exactly, but we think it might be dangerous to do it. Here's the question. Where would you stand on this issue? And then the next question, do you want the perfect, although potentially harmful days?
I think I do it like once, and if it's like groundbreakingly even a word, bad, then yeah, but I don't know. What do they mean by semi-crappy?
I think they're just saying like it would mess with all the systems too much to have perfect weather everywhere. You have to have good weather some places and bad weather other places.
Oh, that's scary. You can't have perfect messing up the weather everywhere. System.
You're just like throwing everything out of balance or something like that.
That's hard.
But it could be potentially disastrous. So you're trying to weigh like an unknown risk against pleasing everyone and allowing them to do something that they want to do.
I think I would hate to actually decide whether or not I want it to happen myself, but I'd still be really happy if it actually happened. I'd be like, oh, cool. But if it didn't happen, then I'd just be like, okay, I guess we're safe, even though like I really want it to happen, I guess.
It would be really cool that like you could plan for a particular day where like you know there's going to be perfect weather and everyone knows it and they all get super excited. Everyone wants to be outside. Everyone wants to go camping. Everyone wants to have a picnic by the lake because they know it's going to be perfect weather. And everybody's happy because the weather is awesome.
Does perfect weather include snow?
No. I think perfect weather is like 72 degrees outside. It's sunny. There's a slight breeze. You can wear t-shirts and shorts and be just the right amount of...
That other day when you went to that Asian supermarket, it was that weather.
Yeah, when we came out of the supermarket, it was that weather.
That's a good day.
And you know, have you ever noticed that when it is good weather, everyone seems just a little bit happier? And when it's bad weather, everyone gets cranky?
It does put me in a good mood.
So that would be the benefit, is like everyone in the world... Not everyone in the world. I'm sure there'd be some people that were still in a bad mood or depressed or whatever. But most of the people would look forward to that day and people would be happy and they'd be nice to each other. And that'd be pretty awesome.
I want like a day. I want a holiday that's like a national day, but people actually take it seriously. Where like we have like really good like meals where, and let me clarify on this, like for breakfast, you'd have to like all wake up at like 9:30, like at a good time and like make waffles, like... enjoy it with the family. And then at lunch, we could like go to our favorite restaurant, like probably like an Indian buffet with us. And then during dinner, we could go to like a really fancy restaurant. That'll be a cool holiday.
Yeah.
Like where like every meal is like the best meal ever.
So I think your idea was actually a pretty good one. Like in order to do this, you wouldn't just plan for every holiday from here on out. You would try it once. You would have like an experimental perfect day. And like, if something happened, like if things look like they were going off the rails, you would just have the people who are controlling the weather like on alert. So the things, you know, they could try to fix it immediately and then they would like cancel the perfect day. Mm-hmm. I think doing an experiment first and just seeing how it works. And if everything's fine, then you just go forward with it. But you just be really careful that first time. I think that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah.
All right. There's one last thing to do on the podcast.
I wonder what it is.
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
All right. Henry's going to join us for treat yourself. So we are doing treat yourself. I already played the drop. For treat yourself today, we are going to try some candy that none of us have ever had before. We bought this candy at Daiso, the Japanese dollar store. If you don't have a Daiso in your area, it's a really cool store. They just sort of came to the Dallas area maybe a couple years ago. And there's like several of them now in the Dallas area. Most of the stuff in the Daiso is like $1.50. In Japan, it's called a hyakuen store. It's everything there is 100 yen. Here, everything is $1.50, which is almost twice as much as 100 yen. But I guess you have to pay money to ship it over here, and still everyone's like $1.50. That's pretty cheap.
You can go there and get calpaco.
But one of the things they have is something called it's called pucho. In Japanese, it's called pucho. It's spelled P-U-C-H-A-O in English, which looks like puchao.
It looks like rucho.
Looks like puchao.
That's a P. It's like a curve off the
Could P. I see?
It's a P. P.
Oh, that's a U.
U-C-H-A-O.
I thought it was part of the R.
But the Japanese writing says pucho.
What does that? Wait, what does that mean?
Pucho. I don't know. I don't think it means anything. It's just the name of the candy. I've got four different flavors here. I have mango, strawberry, cola, and melon.
Really excited
it
about the cola.
It says they are
one.
Soft, gummy and soft candy. And it looks like from the picture that they're sort of like gummy with little blobs of things in them. Never had this before, but let's try the mango, strawberry, cola, and melon. Should we try all of them or should we just do... Yeah, let's try all of them. What the heck?
These are like all of the flavors that are common in America and Japan.
Yeah, melon is much more common in Japan, actually.
Yeah, it's
that's like a core flavor in Japan.
There it's like melon,
here
green
you don't
tea.
Have a lot of things that are melon flavored.
In Japan, it's like melon, green tea, yam, I think like strawberry and mango.
All right, so let's try, we're going to try the mango first.
Okay, those are really good.
All right, so to save time, we actually tried the mango and the melon. They are
super chewy and delicious.
Extremely delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Like, if you're trying to eat them in a hurry, I wouldn't recommend it because they're super chewy, but yeah.
They remind me of a Haichu or a Mambo, except they're even more chewy.
Yeah, and they're
even
better.
Which I love chewy.
It's like
candies. Same.
Yeah, it's like it doesn't stick to anything because it's like kind of like tender.
The flavor is really good.
Texture, I liked, but it's like a gummy thing.
I liked
thing.
The melon a lot. It tastes
yes.
It's yeah. The flavor of like cantaloupe.
No, it tastes like that melon milk that we had at one point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's the flavor of cantaloupe, kind of. So if you've ever had a cantaloupe, that's really sweet and good.
The mango's
good, too.
But the melon's even better.
The melon is really good.
Oh, those were so good.
It's delicious. And I really like how chewy it is. Like, if you like really chewy yeah. things, you'll like this.
It's
I wonder how the,
great.
It's like kind of juicy too. Kind of like in the same way that like Mamba or Starburst is.
All right. Now we're going to try strawberry and then we're going to try cola. So I'm going to mute the
ooh,
mics.
That's
we'll try
good.
Both of these and then we'll come back.
Okay.
All right. So
okay,
we
wait.
Tried the strawberry and the cola.
And I have now come to a conclusion that these are not for chewing. They're for sucking on.
No, I think they're for chewing because they have like the gel in the middle.
They're really chewy, so I think they're for chewing. I mean, you could suck on one, but it lasts a long, long time.
So yeah. The strawberry flavor in Japan tastes a bit different. Like, it tastes kind of like...
It tastes better.
It tastes like if someone put on like powder that was like strawberry scented, it would taste like that.
I like
yeah,
the strawberry
and I
a lot.
That.
The
yeah.
cola... So the strawberry is also...
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Not
the
quite
cola,
as...
on the other hand, I think is just...
Okay.
I think the cola yeah, one
I think
too.
The cola is just okay. The cola no, was think... the worst of the four flavors, I thought.
Yeah.
I think once you get used to it, it tastes good. It tastes like Clean's was.
What it reminds yeah. me of is... it reminds me of cola-flavored bottle caps.
Or they remind me
no
of cola.
Bottle cap candy.
They remind me of once you get past the sour layer, Cola-O or Super Cola or whatever it was called.
Oh, cool.
You know bottle caps, right?
It's
that look
Oklahoma.
Like little bottle caps and they're like soda flavor.
No, yeah, I think it tastes quite more like that, Clorox. Though.
No, I think it reminds you like the
I think
O-Cola.
It tastes like the cola flavored bottle caps.
Those like super sour cola candies that we had that one time. It tastes
yeah,
like that.
We had those once on the podcast, but I think a lot of people haven't had them, so it's not as useful to describe them that way.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, I think the strawberry one's good, but not quite as good as the mango and the cantaloupe. But overall,
I liked the strawberry. I would rank them like this. I would rank mango or melon as the top. Mango is the second one. Strawberry, but I think the mango and strawberry for me are pretty close. And then the cola is the least.
I'd say like
same
mango.
Except I just barely swapped the mango and the strawberry. Just barely.
I'd say like cantaloupe, and then I think mango and cola are kind of tied. And then strawberry.
Oh, you like the strawberry the least?
Well, it's good. It's just the strawberry flavor is a bit different in Japan, and I don't know.
And
it's just not the
Henry,
best.
Henry, you thought the strawberry is the second
good,
best?
Yeah.
Overall, this is really good, though.
And the mango is the third best?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like the cola close. Flavor.
Yeah, they're really good.
I like cola-flavored stuff.
I like cola-flavored stuff, too. I just didn't think this cola was,
it's a high okay.
was really good, that great.
Seems like Japan, or at least Asia, can do cola-flavored stuff better than America can.
I don't know about that. I mean, America came up yep. with Coca-Cola, so.
I mean, like cola-flavored candy.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, so that is our podcast. Thank you, William and Henry, for
thank
participating.
You.
And Mom.
Thank you, Mom, for participating. Thank you, everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you, we'd be very interested in hearing what you have to say about the podcast. Please tell a friend. One thing you can do if you really want to help us out is you can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, or on Google Play, or Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help us if you can leave a 5-star review on iTunes. That's probably the most effective way to get the word out there about our podcast. We might get a little bit more publicity about it. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. It's time for later.